Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Long Story Short with Dr. William Hardy, live on Blog Talk Radio. Hold on to your seats as this seasoned philosopher, theologian, and futurist attempts to summarize the history, current issues, and future of people of African descent. This is Long Story Short.
Greetings to everyone. Greetings to you all here in the United States of America and around the planet Earth. What a joy it is to join you again in another podcast, Long Story Short. We are celebrating African American History Month all through the 28 days of February. And tonight we are focusing on African Americans in black politics, or politics in the United States of America. In our public education system, every school kid class on the workings of government, and particularly the making of the laws of the federal, state, and local levels. During undergraduate and graduate work, students of politics have an opportunity to expand their knowledge by probing deeper into the legislative process, but none of the information in these periods of study will significantly cover the unique contributions of African Americans in the making of our laws in these United States of America. Might want to say, first of all, we should probably know that here in the United States, we have what is called a democracy. And the definition for a democracy is a government that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's probably a good, simple definition of a democracy. There are a number of people, though, who would suggest that we have a theocracy. A theocracy, the word theos means God. Theology is the study of God, and ocracy being the government of the people. But what's this? A government ruled by the concept of God, or the supreme leader by God. That's a theocracy. We do not have a theocracy in the United States of America. But what we do have, which is different than a monarchy, where there is a person who is given the authority through what we call the divine right of kings, DRK, the divine right of kings. And so Queen of England right now, Queen Elizabeth, is in the line of DRK, the divine right of kings. She just happens to be a queen. And so in a monarchy, there's also a parliamentary ruling in England or in Great Britain. And when you have a parliamentary form of government, then a group of lawyers come together, or a group of rulemakers come together, and they create the laws, the rules. And this country, the United States of America, gets its foundations from the early days of democracy in Greece and Rome. And the Romans, remember, are the ones who conquered all of Gaul. And eventually out of that area of Gaul, or what we now call Anglo-Saxony, are the European people, particularly of the English descent, they created what was called the Magna Carta, a rule or a group of laws that ruled the people. And when the pilgrims came to these colonies that we now call the United States, but the 13 original colonies, they're crown colonies, meaning colonies that were created by kings and queens in Europe. There are colonies that are ruled independently, so independent colonies. And there are colonies that were particularly nothing but business. So a crown colony, a business colony, and just an independent colony. These colonies come together as the 13 original colonies, and then people came together and they wanted a rule of government. What was that rule of government? A law is an unlimited, intelligible phenomena that serves to govern a community or a society. Now, that's one definition. Another definition of a law is a system of rules and regulations that serve to govern human actions in koinonia. Koinonia, a Greek word, koine Greek, meaning common Greek. Koine means community. So koinonia, koinonia. So if you have a government that is a democracy, rule a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, at some point you also develop what you and I would call political parties or political entities relating to the government of the public affairs in a social community, or public policy, the strategy to regulate affairs in a community. Now, what does all of this have to do with African American History Month? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. In these United States of America, after the founding of the country, the formal founding of the country, 1776 to 1787, 88, and 89, when the Constitution, first of all, the Declaration of Independence, then the Constitution of the United States was formed by the so-called founding fathers of this republic. Ben Franklin walked out of one of the meetings in Constitution Hall, and there was a woman standing out there, and she said, Dr. Franklin, what kind of government have you given us? He said, you have a republic if you can keep it. Many people in this country and right now, this republic that we're part of, is always changing. And so the 13th, the 4th Amendments to the Constitution of the United States gave a great change to this democracy, which is a republic. The 13th Amendment, starting in 1865 all the way to 1869, this new amendment to the Constitution of the United States, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created. Well, watch this. The 13th Amendment eliminates slavery. The 14th Amendment gives the former slaves citizenship. So the 14th Amendment is citizenship. Say that those freed slaves, not only are they citizens and they have a right to vote, but they can also own property and sell property. So the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution of the United States eliminated what was called 3/5 of a vote for black men in this country. Elected to the United States Senate in the time of Reconstruction of this country after the Civil War, the first African American to be elected from the United States Senate to the United States from the state of Mississippi, Hiram R. Revels. Person elected to the United States Senate from the state of Mississippi, Blanche Kelso Bruce. So those were the two first United States senators elected in during the Reconstruction era of the country. Most scholars will agree up to the present that the golden era of black participation in government on the federal level was from 1870 to 1901. this construction period recorded 20 black senators and representatives who served on the United States Capitol, the hill of United States policy. However, based on the mood of the country at the turn of the century, many believe that a fellow by the name of George H. White, a Republican, a black Republican from North Carolina, would be the last black man to serve ever in the United States Congress. However, Mr. White was optimistic, though. He was a futurist, evidently, because he said, optimistically, the future of black folk in the halls of Congress are bright. And on January 20, 1901, Representative White went before the second session of the 56th Congress of the United States of America, and he said, and I quote what he said, "This, Mr. Chairman, is perhaps the Negro's temporary farewell to the American Congress. Like, he will rise up someday and come again." These parting words are in behalf of an outraged, heartbroken, bruised, and bleeding, but God-fearing people, a rising people, full of potential force, end of quote. And with the election of a fellow by the name of Oscar DePriest, a black Republican from the state of Illinois, in 1928, of the new era of black politics in America began. Thus, the fulfillment of the prophecy of George White. So that gives you some background on today's politics of African Americans in politics in this country. When I started studying this particular area, I was a young student in high school, Crispus Attucks High School in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, and they closed the place in the 1970s. But they taught something there. They said every kid in this institution, in this little school, must know government. You must know government. And so I was only a teenager, introduced to the study of what this country was supposed to be. And I heard that not only Hiram Revels being the first black United States senator being elected, and the second one was Blanche Kelso Bruce during the Reconstruction era, but I also heard, when I finally graduated from undergraduate school, United States senator elected since the days of George White and others. Since 1913, Edward Brooke from Massachusetts was elected in 1967 to the United States Senate. The second person to be elected to the United States Senate, a black, this time the first black woman ever to be elected to the United States Senate, Carol Moseley Braun of the state of Illinois and from the city of Chicago, by the way. She then was replaced by a fellow by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, the fifth United States senator in the United States history of the United States Congress, and particularly the Senate, the chamber of the United States Senate. And most recently, in 2013, we elected a fellow who had been most active in the state of New Jersey, becoming one of the great mayors of that great state, and his name is Cory Booker, who was elected to the United States Senate in 2013. Those are the elected black senators of the United States Senate, and we should probably make another mention of history at this point. Today, there are over 435 seats in the House of Representatives. There are 100 senators. Of these House of Representatives, these persons are the what we'll call the People's House. They are elected by directly by the people of 435 districts. Each district has, in round figures, about 500,000 people. Because in the United States of America, we have about 325 million people in the country. 435 seats. Of those 435 seats, 44 of them are held by black decision makers. Black decision makers. However, congressional district has been continuously represented by blacks as long as the policy spokesman from the first district of the state of Illinois in the Chicago South Side, the South Side of Chicago. Even during the golden era of black politics, only 31 years were registered before the statement of the optimistic George White. So today, when we look at the 44 persons, and then Barack Hussein Obama became the first African American to be elected president of the United States. He did not complete his term as the senator from the state of Illinois. And so Roland Burris became the person who was appointed as senator, and Roland is very happy to have been a senator in the United States Senate, but he was not elected. But everyone should know in these United States of America, times are now changing and the population of the country is changing. Possibly one of the reasons why there's so much turmoil in the United States Capitol on the House of Representatives side as well as the Senate side, because there are some people who seem to think they can hold back the night. They seem to think they can put a finger in the dike and the dam will not break. But as a futurist, as a person who is a philosopher and has studied metaphysics, according to the United States Census Bureau, within 50 years, the population of the United States of America will be one-third African-American, one-third black, Hispanic, and one-third white or Caucasian. So individuals now thinking that they can hold back the change need to get a grip. Go to any elementary school in these United States of America, and you got to visit a number of them, because you don't want to only go to schools in the urban communities. Go even into the so-called white urban areas, and suburban areas, and rural areas. And you will see a mixture, a diversified population of little children. So 50 years from now, one-third white, one-third black, Hispanic. I will predict that we will have several more African Americans who will be elected by the people, who will serve by the people, for the people, because they will be elected by those individuals. They will be of the three races, plus gender will change. We will have more than one woman to be president also in these United States of America. My studies in this area run through many, many years, but I can tell you that there is something like 16 urban areas that will give us more than, instead of 44 senators that we, and I'm sorry, 40, 44 House of Representative members who are black. But there will also be a number of individuals who will increase this number from states like Alabama, Michigan, Maryland, Georgia, Ohio, Tennessee, Illinois, South Carolina, Texas, New York, Missouri, Louisiana, and Pennsylvania. Those states have more individuals of American and Hispanic descendants than any other states in the United States of America. Those are the states that right now have large populations, and those populations will elect more than one or two or even three persons of color, and or the gender will change in these United States. So I'm going to predict, on long story short, that in less than 50 years, not only do we have the 44 House of Representatives members, we will have at least 67 representatives because of the projected populations of those states that I just named. Now, there are other states that could do some things that we should look at tonight. Look at the state of Mississippi. We only have one black congressman from that state right this minute. I predict we will have four or five African Americans from that state within the near future. Mississippi. There are more African Americans living in the state of Mississippi right now than any other state in the whole United States of America. There are 50 states here, and Mississippi has more black people living there, the population, than any other state. So I would also predict to you there will be at least five sitting United States senators, black senators, at the same time in the United States Senate. But it's in the future. There will more than likely be at least 10 governors seated at the same time in the various states. And those states that I just mentioned, they will probably be the states that will give us some of those 10, one or two of those 10 governors. And we've had a number of governors already. Politics. The construction of policy. The construction of regulations and rules that govern a society. And we the people elect our representatives. We the people elect two senators from each state that go to Washington. And so we can look at the history of the United States of America, elected first in 2008, re-elected in 2012. As Barack Obama said to his followers at the end of the 2008 campaign, and people were saying, well, Mr. Obama, you were a black person. Did the people really know who they were voting for? He said, they knew that I was black the first time that I was elected. And the second time, they know who I am. And yes, there are individuals who say, well, he's biracial. Well, all of us are here in these United States. And if you have not downloaded one of the previous podcasts of this program, long story short, you will hear that we've talked about the days of slavery, when there were plantation owners that wanted individuals to be strong and black, men and women, and they had breeding farms. Most African Americans today are biracial, but we just don't say so. If you want to think about it, look at the people who are right now in Africa who have not become a part of this mixture that we now have in the United States of America or in South America, in many of those countries of South America, particularly Brazil. You will see a mixture of people. These people have a mixed race background. So when you see an original or the persons who have not been tampered with, guess what? They are black. And here in the United States of America, they still have a problem with color. When you're looking at a model for a TV commercial, those models most of the time are, sometimes they're brown, but they're so light you can't even tell that they're black, because we still have a problem of race in this country. We still can't recognize that a black person is a black person who has made a major contribution to this country. So I would offer you, my friend, the next several years in these United States of America, as more and more blacks assume leadership in the central cities, black leaders will gain a significant political authority. And as a third wing of this, when you're looking at the authority in central cities and leaders of our states, we also will have black leaders in business and industry, international business particularly. So this country diversify itself over the next 50 years, we'll see a change. Now, what is this change? Because of the population, because of how rules and regulations are developed, I will give you three areas right now that I would predict will change the face of this country. One, when African Americans leave this country and visit other countries, individuals know who we are. They can see we do not look like our brothers and sisters directly anymore in Africa. We have a kind of look. It's a golden tone. I would say coffee with cream. But when Katrina took place, the great waves and the tornado that took place, and the hurricane that took place in Louisiana and the Gulf states of Mississippi and parts of Florida, that coast, the Gulf Coast areas, black people who are dark-skinned, black people who look exactly like our brothers and sisters in Africa came out of the woodwork waiting to be saved or waiting to be taken care of by the government of the country. And the country failed. Now, I would say something else is changing. Not only the politics of population, but also gender. Nobody gives a hoot about who you love. So same-sex marriage is a part of the law of this country. And thirdly, people who smoke marijuana for a recreation situation, some of them for medical reasons, for medicinal purposes only. Those three areas, politics, population, the population changes politics, changes gender, and changes even what we do. Who will be making these laws? Many of the individuals will be African American, will be white. Well, I'm out of time again, and this has been a long story short. And if this is the first time tuning in, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/longstoryshort to download previous programs. For the entire month of February, we are celebrating African American History Month, started by Carter G. Woodson in 1915. So this is the 100th anniversary of Black History Month. And please know, you should listen every night at 9 p.m. Eastern for Long Story Short. I'm your host, Dr. William Hardy, and I look forward to sharing another exciting episode of A Long Story Short. See you next time.